mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, barely a week after Labor Day, and Bankrate is already out with their spending forecast for the holiday season. So will it be a green Christmas for retailers this year? Also this morning in our community and business spotlight, the United Way of Hancock County is set to kick off their annual fundraising campaign. CEO Kelly McClurkin explains how they work to ensure those dollars meet the mission of measurably improving people's lives. And the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H is taking just a quick breather after the fair before jumping back into a busy fall. We'll find out what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, September 9th, 2024. This is big news, perhaps, for some folks. Be advised, Ohioans who hold cryptocurrency in the world's largest exchange, crypto exchange, will need to pull your money out today. Binance, the cryptocurrency exchange Binance, is shutting down accounts that belong to Ohio residents tomorrow. The move comes after the Ohio Division of Financial Institutions informed the company that they plan to revoke their money transmission license earlier this year. Investments that are not moved out of Binance accounts from Ohio account holders before tomorrow, you're not going to lose your money, but it will be for a time inaccessible, and then it will eventually be sent to the Ohio Division of Unclaimed Funds. So you'll have to go through that whole rigmarole in order to get your money back. So if you have a crypto account through Binance, get it out of there today, is the message. Interesting. Let's see here. Cue the outrage. Kendrick Lamar has been announced as the headliner for the Super Bowl 59 halftime show this coming February. The NFL announced on Sunday that Kendrick Lamar, the rapper, would perform at the championship game February 9th in New Orleans. Will not be the first time that he has performed at the halftime show. He was part of the hip-hop greats tribute at Super Bowl 56, all of those West Coast hip-hop artists that performed together. He is one of the most acclaimed rap artists currently working in the music industry, having won 29 BET Awards, 17 Grammys, even a Pulitzer Prize for music. But I'm sure that there will be those who hate all things associated with rap music will say, why are they doing this? Some big rock star or something. But it is a rap star, Super Bowl 59. Hey, you know what? This is what the kids today like, and, you know, they're big fans of Kendrick Lamar, and that's the generation they're trying to appeal to. So. But cue the outrage. I'm sure people will be upset about that. Let's see. You know, win the lottery and hire your own halftime show. Put on your own halftime show at your Super Bowl party. The Mega Millions jackpot is getting big. Cue the lotto frenzy. Now up to $800 million. Nobody picked all six numbers in Friday night's big Mega Millions drawing. The last time that someone won the grand prize was back on June 4th. So now the Mega Millions jackpot will roll over into tomorrow's drawing when it will be worth an estimated $800 million. The lump sum option of some $400 million in cash. Now, if you bought a ticket for Friday night's lottery drawing, you have not checked your numbers yet. Don't throw it away, because there were a half a dozen tickets that matched five of the numbers and are worth $1 million each. So that's not too shabby either. You won't, wouldn't turn it down. Wouldn't turn it down, but no big winners. So, you know, lotto fever is going to capture the country here before too long. And a couple of other items among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Did you sleep in at all this weekend? If so, good for you. A new study presented at the recent meeting of the European Society of Cardiology shows that catching up on your sleep over the weekend is actually good for your heart, which is a contrast from what we have been told in the past. The prevailing belief has been that you cannot make up for lost sleep during the course of the week by sleeping in over the weekend. But this study contradicts that. Now, the study is out of China. It's from the National Center for Cardiovascular Disease in China, but it noted those who have slept poorly Monday through Friday but get some solid sack time on the weekends saw a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease compared to those who did not catch up on their sleep over the weekend. The study was pretty extensive, more than 90,000 participants in this study, and they were monitored over the course of 14 years. And the researchers discovered that this group that slept the most on the weekends was 19% less likely to develop heart disease than their early-to-rise counterparts. So, and then it goes on to say for those who reported being sleep-deprived during the week, that reduction moved up to 20%, so a little bit better. For the record, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine still recommends that you get a minimum of 7 hours of sleep every day, but if anyone is wondering why you are not hitting the ground running on Saturday and Sunday, you can always point them to this new study and say, I'm just doing my heart good by sleeping in over the weekend. Always thought that it is good for your mental health as well, but that wasn't part of the study. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, Apple is going to unveil their new iPhone today. They get a big product reveal event later today. Not just the iPhone, but there are other gadgets and devices that they're going to be introduced, or they're expected to introduce as well, just in time to make those Christmas wish lists. But this is taking it to an extreme. If you have ever complained about your smartphone being too small, and I don't know who has. I mean, we keep getting larger and larger smartphones. But anyway, if you think your cell phone is just too small, check this out. Aaron Maini, and Matthew Perks, they're a couple of YouTube stars. And apparently they recently built a new version of the iPhone that has set a Guinness World Record for the largest replica of a smartphone. It is almost 7 foot tall. A 7 foot tall iPhone consists of an 88-inch OLED TV, and it's actually functional. It was able to send texts and emails. It operates all of the iPhone apps, even takes photos, has a flashlight and a charging port. So it is a fully functioning smartphone. It's just 7 feet tall. They came up with the idea to create this giant iPhone replica to mark the fact that they now have 19.4 million followers on their YouTube channel, which is actually more than Apple has on their YouTube channel. So they figured they would go big or go home, I guess. These iPhones, 7 foot iPhone. I guess you wouldn't have to worry about ever losing it. You know what I mean? So there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected today with a high around 80, mostly clear tonight, a low around 50. A Findlay man is facing a charge of felonious assault on a police officer, among other charges, after an incident over the weekend. Police department says it responded to an address in the 1200 block of South Blanchard Street on the report of an intoxicated man with a firearm threatening family members. Police say when they arrived on the scene, they made contact with a suspect who was inside a fenced-in yard, and the man yelled at them and began running towards the officers with a rifle in his hand. Police say another officer approached from the other side of the property and surprised the man with his presence and ordered him to drop the rifle, and the man complied and raised his hands in the air and was taken into custody without further incident. Police say the man's rifle was loaded with a full 30-round magazine with a round in the chamber and switched to fire. The man was arrested on charges of domestic violence, having a weapon while intoxicated, and felonious assault on a police officer. Get more in the story on our website. A proposed merger between two large grocery chains, one based in Ohio, is under scrutiny in federal court.
Kroger is trying to buy Albertsons for a $25 billion deal. It would be the largest grocery store merger in U.S. history. Both of their CEOs saying a merger would better position the companies to compete against Walmart and Amazon and lower prices. The Federal Trade Commission halted the merger, saying it would actually raise prices by reducing competition. A Kroger senior director admitted the grocery giant already raised prices for eggs and milk. Since then, the CEO of Kroger has insisted prices would come down if the chains merge.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. Officials say due to construction, the Hancock County Job and Family Services and Ohio Means Jobs Hancock County building at 7746 County Road 140 will be closed to the public on Tuesday and Wednesday. Hancock County Job and Family Services says it will still be providing services on those days, just not in person. Hancock County JFS is currently sharing space with Ohio Means Jobs, while the JFS building at 7814 County Road 140 is under construction. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So barely a week after Labor Day, and Bankrate is already out with their spending forecast for the holiday season. So, will it be a green Christmas for retailers this year? Senior industry analyst Ted Rossman joins us now with some of the highlights and insights. And Ted, the number that really jumped out right at me first thing when I looked at this is the one in four, basically, who say that they have already started their shopping or will start this month. They combined 25% between those two responses, and it seems like that's a lot of people who are starting earlier than ever.
It is, yeah. And if we throw in the one in four who are planning to start in October, that adds up to about half of holiday shoppers who start Christmas shopping before Halloween. So it does sound early. It's become a trend in recent years, though. I would really view the pandemic as an accelerator of this trend. Remember, a few years ago, people had to shop early because of supply chain woes, and they felt like if they didn't order early, they weren't going to get it. Now, thankfully, the supply chain has healed, but the early start has persisted. During the pandemic, Amazon actually moved Prime Day from the summer to the fall for the first time. And it went so well that now they do two Prime Days. They do one in July, usually, and one in October. The July one is kind of the unofficial kickoff to back to school. The October one is kind of the unofficial kickoff to Christmas.
Yeah.
Target and Walmart and others have joined in on this. Black Friday really starts in October now.
Yeah.
Really right around that second week of October, that's when the best deals start, and they just keep going.
What I thought also is really interesting is that only about one quarter of people expect to spend more this year than they did last, and a third actually say they expect to spend less. But I wonder, how often does that actually happen? Especially if you're starting so early, I have to think it's really easy to spend more than you plan to because you're not doing all of your shopping at once, usually.
You're right. We do need to take this with a grain of salt, and we should watch what people do, not just what they say.
Yeah.
Because we know that consumer sentiment has been lagging really for the past few years, and a lot of the actual economic data has been better in terms of consumer spending and economic growth and the job market, and all of these things are better than sentiment has been. Sentiment's lagging because of inflation, and people feel like even if they're working and even if their wages are up, it's just not keeping pace. And we see that around the holidays, too. We saw that one in three holiday shoppers say that inflation is affecting their buying habits. And even though inflation's come down, a lot of the damage has been done, and there's a cumulative toll to all of this. We are going to see a frugal shopper this year, and it actually fits into the early start, too. I think you can spin the early start to your advantage if it gives you more time to comparison shop and find the best deals and spread out your cash flow. I'm a big fan of setting money aside from every paycheck. You may still get paid 7 or 8 times before the end of the year. Set that aside so you're not going into credit card debt.
Yeah. This is something that I think we've talked about before with respect to this, the surprisingly small number of people, and the survey reflects it again this year, the surprisingly small number of people who budget and set aside money for the holiday season. I mean, it really should not be a surprise. It comes around every year at the same time, and yet every year it seems like most people say that they are unprepared.
It's so true. And even if it feels early to be making these purchases, if nothing else, start to sketch out a gift list and a budget. Set money aside from every paycheck. The National Retail Federation says that the average holiday shopper spent about $900 last year. Don't leave all of that to the end. If you can save that in bits and pieces, you know, $100 here, $200 there, you do that every couple of weeks between now and the holidays, and that's your holiday budget. You don't have to go into expensive credit card debt. It does worry me that credit card balances are at record highs, credit card rates are at near record highs. A lot of people are going to be taking on a lot of expensive holiday debt. A good way to avoid that is to plan ahead of time.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask. For those who are in that boat without a plan and stressed out, and again, the survey finds that is a significant segment of the population, what should be the strategy? And, you know, like you said, it's get a plan.
Exactly. Yeah, and I would add to that, stack discounts. Store promotions are likely to be abundant this year. Take advantage of that, but don't stop there. Use your rewards credit card. As long as you pay in full, you don't owe interest. That's a second way to save on that purchase. A third way could be to go through an online shopping portal, something like Rakuten or Shop Through Chase. It's basically affiliate marketing. If you log into these platforms or use their browser extension and you go to a retailer site, they usually give you an extra kickback in the form of cash back or extra credit card points just by taking that simple step. That's three ways to save on the same purchase. Or, you know, you could use one of those Amex offers or Chase offers or those digital coupons that credit card brands have. These are all strategies that you can combine and mix and match on different purchases.
Again, the key being you have to have the plan because, like you said, just adding to your debt load, especially at current interest rates, that is not a good option. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people find themselves come the first of the year.
It is. 1 in 4 holiday shoppers say that they're likely to take on debt this year. Frankly, I think it's going to be higher because half of cardholders already carry debt from month to month. I mean, no shame. It's often for practical reasons, but especially if you have credit card debt, don't dig the hole any deeper around the holidays. Maybe get a 0% balance transfer card to pay it down or stick to cash or debit for a while. I would also urge people to take stock of what they already have in terms of credit card rewards that could be cashed in, gift cards. We did a survey last year. We found half of Americans have unused gift cards.
Yeah.
And the average is close to $200. Use that for your holiday fund and, you know, buy something for a friend or family member or give them the card or resell the card on a platform like Raise or Card Cash. These are all things that you can do if you plan ahead.
Yeah. Just kind of curious, again, we're talking about how it seems like more and more people are starting earlier through choice or necessity, whichever it might happen to be. Are there generational differences to this? I mean, different generations approaching this differently?
Young adults stand out. They're the most likely to be spending more this holiday season and the most likely to be excited about this early start. Some of that may be if they have young kids, you know, that can be exciting around the holidays.
Yeah.
It's interesting because on the face of it, you would say that older people are probably hit harder by inflation. You know, we talk about people on a fixed income and when your costs go up, that's difficult. And it is. I would also say that it's hard for young adults who are facing a lot of cost pressures of their own.
Right.
And people under 40 have never really experienced this kind of inflation up until the past couple of years. So I don't know, maybe you could see that one both ways. But, you know, the data stands out that younger people are more likely to say that they're going to splurge around the holidays. We're focused mostly on gifts here, but I would also add travel to that trend. Mm-hmm. A lot of young people splurge on travel. A lot of times it's on them to go back home for the holidays. So that's just something to be aware of, that, you know, if you're a young person who's excited about holiday shopping, make sure you've got that good budget in place, because it's not just the gifts, it's the trip, and it's all the other things on top of it.
Well, if nothing else, the fact that younger people are still spending, it just goes to show that the holiday spending extravaganza is in no danger of trailing off with this new generation, at least. the one stat from the survey, and I think this is maybe a good place to finish up and kind of wrap all of this up in a bow, pun intended, is that that number that 16% who say that they feel pressured to spend more than they are comfortable. And at the end of the day, that's not the feeling that you want to have during the holiday season. If that's where you are, maybe you need to step back and evaluate what's really important.
Yeah, I mean, not to be corny about it, but they do say your presence is the present, you know, in the sense of just being at the holiday gathering, enjoying that time with family and friends. There are ways to be creative. I mean, we've talked about a bunch of saving strategies, but we could also talk about regifting. We could talk about, you know, making things if you're crafty, or if you're a good baker, or, you know, maybe your kids can make something for grandma and grandpa, or, you know, hopefully your family doesn't want you to be in credit card debt for holiday gifts. So it is important to set some limits. The early start can help, you know, to the extent that it gives you more time to set money aside and find the best deals and that sort of thing. But yeah, at the end of the day, you don't want to be paying for this Christmas a year from now. And that is the sad reality for some people with credit card debt.
Again, Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman with us this morning, talking about their spending forecast for the holiday season. Ted, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the United Way of Hancock County in today's spotlight, Kelly McClurkin is with us from the United Way, getting set to kick off the campaign for another year.
We are.
Pretty exciting stuff.
It is always exciting, yes.
This is obviously an important time for the United Way, also for all of the programs and agencies that you partner with, which number how many now?
We have 15 partner agencies this year.
Okay. And this is a campaign that has a tremendous impact on the community, and maybe in ways that people don't realize. Sometimes it's easy to see how, you know,
sometimes,
the kind of impact.
I think
other times.
Yeah, I think everyone's heard of United Way, but sometimes it's a little confusing with what we do.
Right.
So we do have 15 partner agencies that are all have their niche, you know, with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to look at ourselves as that umbrella organization that covers the community as a whole, rather than focusing on one single cause or issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have many that we help. So anywhere from food security to homelessness to safe and healthy children to transportation, financial stability, it's all wrapped up in there.
One of the other things that maybe sometimes people don't realize is that you make sure that these are effective programs that you're supporting, not just putting money out there for programs willy-nilly, as it were.
No.
You're monitoring these and keeping track and making sure that there is an impact to those dollars.
There is. First of all, they have to be vital or basic needs. Mm-hmm. And second of all, our partner agencies, that's why we call them partners. They have to go through a process to become a partner agency and to submit an application for funding. And then there's a checks and balance. They have to report back to us that what we're funding, what program we're funding,
mm-hmm.
they let us know that that's in fact what they're doing with that money.
That accountability is there, which is one of the reasons why the United Way with confidence can go to the community and say, you trust us with, you know, million or $2.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, another thing that I think is a little bit of something that not everyone knows is that all the money raised here stays right here in Hancock County. So we really like to brag about that, because that's pretty cool.
100% community impact.
Yeah.
We were talking about the impact that you have. And in some ways, people see it every day. In other ways, maybe it's not as immediately known. You have a story that
We have a great story. HATS is our one of our partner agencies.
Yeah,
and this is just a great example of how one partner agency kind of connects to others and other partner agencies and the impact that they have. We have a wonderful story of a family that used HATS to go to work, to take their children to school, to grocery shop, to go to medical appointments. I mean, think about what all you use your car for.
Right.
And so they started off at City Mission. They were quite memorable to HATS because with three children, it's they're just memorable. They're a you know, happy, maybe a little noisy bunch sometimes on the bus, but and they fell off their radar after a while. And 2 years after that, the dad called back to HATS with a thank you because of them. They were able to get their, you know, and going to work and earning enough money to get on, you know, a financial stability path. Their own roof over their heads, their own transportation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, really great story.
Making a difference.
Yeah, getting
making
on the right path.
And that's what it's all about.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
We call you difference makers when you are connected to United Way.
So the campaign begins here in the next few days, right?
Yeah. It's kicking off this week.
Okay.
With a pickleball tournament. It's, you got to kind of slow down when you say pickleball.
Pickleball tournament kicks everything off this year. That's
yes.
Okay.
Tuesday at 4 a.m. at Riverside Park. But you do need to register
ahead
of time.
Did you say Tuesday at 4 a.m.?
4 p.m.
4 p.m. I was going to say. I want to make sure that I clarify that.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Very early.
No.
But if folks want to sign up, they can still do that, right?
They can. UWHancock.org. And it's very clear on our homepage. There's a little pickleball. Click it and sign up and you're good to go.
And then folks will start to see the campaign materials at their workplaces here in the very near future.
Actually, yes. We're already kind of getting those out into the community with the help of our cabinet. So some of those are already dispersed and they'll keep coming. So
Look for that at work here very soon. And by the way, as a bit of a sidebar, kudos to everybody who makes the campaign happen, because it takes a lot of people to canvas the entire workforce.
It does. And that involves, I'm glad you gave that little shout out, because we are a small team of 5 full-time people and 2 part-time people. So we put together a campaign cabinet with the different divisions of business and things like that in the private sector to help us raise money. So we really appreciate our cabinet members.
Look forward to updates as we go through the campaign season. Again, Kelly McClurkin from the United Way of Hancock County. Mention the website where folks can get more information, register for the pickleball tournament, and learn more about the campaign.
UWHancock.org.
Kelly, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
This is one of those stories. Had it not been on the newswire and sourced from a reliable news outlet, I would never have believed this. I mean, if this was just a Facebook story or something that I saw on Reddit or something like that, there's no way that this is real. But apparently it is true. A resident in Arizona is 32 years old. Andy Norton is his name. He apparently has always, for virtually his entire life, suffered from congestion issues and only recently discovered what the problem was. He sneezed in the shower and discovered that a small toy had been lodged in his nose for 25 years. He's 32 years old and apparently had a Lego lodged in his nasal cavity for 25 of his 32 years. Mr. Norton said that he'd always had congestion issues, but thought he simply had allergies. No. Had a Lego up his nose. He said he sneezed in the shower. Something came out, and it was a Lego piece. Suddenly, a childhood memory resurfaced. I'm not entirely sure what possessed me to do this, he said, but I evidently thought putting the dot brick into my nose was a good place for it. Now I remember, he said. He is planning on keeping the Lego as a souvenir, but not putting it back up his nose. He's going to see the doctor and see if the doctor thinks he is actually cured now. Can you imagine discovering, and why? I mean, I guess, ask the doctor, why in the world didn't you check and see if there was something in his nasal cavity? But who would think that 20 years, 20 plus years after the fact, there would still be a Lego in his nose? Weird. Elsewhere in the broken news, a man wanted for allegedly stealing thousands of dollars worth of fragrances from a store last year has now finally been captured. He is no longer on the loose. Authorities in Maryland say 40-year-old Robert Buck and two others and two accomplices to pull this off stole more than $3,000 in fragrances from an Ulta Beauty store back in July of 2023. He was arrested last weekend after officers discovered he was already in custody in Carroll County, and now he has been charged in the fragrance thefts. They became suspicious when he smelled really, really good. No, I'm making that part up. I don't know. But you would think that that would be a surefire giveaway. Oh, what is that? Is that polo? Is that men's? Lovely fragrance. It's not your typical Old Spice there. $3,000 worth of fragrances. He has been transferred to the Lancaster County Prison, I guess, is where this all happened. So he is... Oh, thank goodness that he is no longer on the loose. I mean, we can't have a serial fragrance thief on the loose. Not to be outdone, a man in North Texas is now headed to prison for defrauding the charitable foundation of a church. Now, this is about as low as you can possibly get. And it strikes me that this is also a little dangerous. You know what I mean? And you're messing with the man upstairs when you rob the charitable foundation of a church. Thomas Calhoun Bain was sentenced to over 7 years for stealing more than $1 million from the Park City's Presbyterian Church Foundation and the organizations it was supposed to be funding. He did all of this while serving as the foundation's treasurer. He also defrauded investors in the company that he ran called Bain Trade. He'll have to pay $1.7 million in restitution and probably explain himself at the pearly gates one day. Although, I guess we should also mention that, the Park City's Presbyterian Church Foundation might want to review their hiring practices. He was serving as their treasurer at the time. You might want to review your hiring practices and background checks, It's just a thought. More broken news, this from Chesterfield, Virginia, where a man saw his oven burst into flames after he put a loaded gun inside of it and turned the oven on. I don't know what possessed this individual to think that hiding a gun in the oven was a good idea. It sounds kind of half-baked to me. But he put the gun in the oven and then turned it on. I don't know if he forgot that it was in there. And, of course, it started firing. The gun went off. A photo on the fire department's Facebook page there in Chesterfield County appears to show the gun partially melted and fused to the oven rack. Story goes on to say it was not known exactly what the gun was doing inside the oven in the first place. Caption alongside the picture warns, when you place any item in the oven, it's easy to forget that it's there, and that can lead to a fire or something worse, in this case, when you turn the oven on. You should also make sure to properly store your firearms. Don't keep them in the oven. Put them in the microwave. No, I'm just kidding. You don't want to put guns in the microwave either. Put them where everybody puts them, in the refrigerator. That's... let's see here. And finally, in the broken news this morning, odd and unusual side of the headlines, a YouTube influencer, Nikocado Avocado is his stage name, his YouTube name, his real name is Nicholas Perry, recently went viral by releasing a video showing that he had lost 250 pounds. Just like that, or apparently just like that. Apparently he's been working on losing weight over the past 2 years, but he had recorded a bunch of videos to post to his YouTube page in advance of his radical weight loss. So when he posted the before and after comparison, it was the first his followers knew that he had been losing a dramatic amount of weight. Let's see here. It says the 32-year-old had been uploading old videos to hide his transformation. Mr. Perry gained internet stardom from videos of him and his friends eating large amounts of food. And so obviously this was quite a dramatic transformation. He now claims his weight gain was part of a huge social experiment. He said, I'm always two steps ahead. This has been the greatest social experiment of my entire life. He went on to say to his subscribers, just yesterday, people were calling me fat and sick and boring and irrelevant. Unquote. And now, of course, he is thin and healthier. And still boring and irrelevant, in my mind. But it's, that is pretty amazing. Losing 250 pounds and then to hide it from his YouTube followers by posting older videos he recorded in advance. It's just a pretty incredible story. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The University of Findlay Homecoming is September 26th through the 29th, and guess what? The public is invited. Thursday night, the 26th, come out for the bonfire and the Lads Band. Friday, the 27th, is Oilerpalooza, featuring the band Thumbtack Mechanics, inflatables, and fireworks. Saturday, it's the Pharmacy 5K, tailgate with the Thumbtack Mechanics, and football game versus Hillsdale. Sunday, it's the worship service in the College of Business lobby at 10 a.m. Don't miss the University of Findlay Homecoming, September 26th through the 29th.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. If you are looking to spice things up in your relationship, head to Hawaii. According to a new survey of 2,000 Americans, 34% say the Aloha State is the most romantic travel destination in the world. Not just in America, but in the world. Paris is number two at 33%. 29% chose Rome. 19% picked Cancun. Rounding out the top five, 13% said Costa Rica. The top five. Now, if you can't afford any of those, you know, extravagant romantic getaways, not to worry. The vast majority of those in the survey said just being on vacation makes them feel more romantic. 62% said it doesn't really matter where you go. Anywhere, just as long as you're on vacation, it makes you feel more romantic. And 76% of respondents in the survey would consider traveling together to be a serious step in a relationship. Maybe not as serious as meeting the parents or moving in together, but nonetheless a serious step in a relationship. So the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H... taking a quick breather after the fair and then jumping right back into a busy fall. 4-H program assistant Edie Gerke is with us once again this morning on the show. Thanks for joining us. You look like you're all recovered from the fair.
Yes.
More or less.
Yes, it was a warm week, so the cool week definitely helped last week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So kind of recap the fair. I mean, obviously incredibly successful.
Yeah, there are a lot of great events that took place. We have programming every day, which we talked a little bit about during the week of the fair. And each event brought between 20 to 40 kids to just experience the events, whether we were talking about food programming with FCS or talking about rock painting and developing different things with mental health with our 4-H events. So a lot of great things.
STEM bus
was
incredibly popular, I know, as always.
We had a lot of kids there. They got to experience a lot of cool activities, and then they got to actually go home with a little kit about energy, which was really awesome.
Yeah, so a lot of things for all of the kids at the Hancock County Fair, because those events were open to all.
Yes.
And then, of course, very successful for the 4-H kids as well, both in terms of the animal projects and all of the other projects.
Yes, definitely. We had 34 clubs and youth organizations recognized in our youth pavilion, and then a multitude of schools in the area on the FFA side in their art project. So they got to be recognized. The animal kids got to be recognized with their animals and all their hard work throughout the year.
Sure, a terrific livestock sale on Monday, too.
Yeah, I heard it went really well. I don't have the final numbers on that one, but I heard it went really well. It went very smoothly.
And always want to send a big shout out, and again, there are too many of them to name, but a huge shout out to all of the businesses and benefactors who go to the livestock sale and make that happen.
Yeah, without them, it would not be possible. We thank them for all their generosity, and the kids put in a lot of hard work, and their support in showing them and kind of rewarding them for all their hard work is really great to see, and we thank them for everything.
The other thing, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but it bears repeating that so often the money that they get from the livestock sale, the kids, the premiums that they get, this is not just mad money. I mean, some of it they may go out and splurge on, something, new smartphone or something. Kids today.
Right.
Vast majority of it is going to be set aside, like for college or for next year's projects.
Yeah, depending on how well they did, some do definitely set aside for college or their next level of whether they're going to post-secondary or they're deciding to join right into the workforce, they can use that money to help kind of kickstart them. And then other ones use it for whether they're animal purchase for next year. You know, kids are always growing. They got to buy new show clothes or new halters and things for their animals. So kind of helping them develop.
And it's like the animals want to eat or something once they get their next project. They got to, feed and care for those animals too. So, and that is part of the learning experience that is 4-H.
Yes, definitely. We like to see them kind of grow and develop, and luckily some of those finances can be helped push to the next year by the support of the local donors and buyers.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Also mention, and again, something we were talking about during the course of the fair when we were out there, the new digs for the junior fair are just absolutely fabulous out there, and I know they really appreciated that, especially the air conditioning part.
Yeah, so we didn't get to be in there a whole lot. I did get to take a tour. It's really nice out there, and I know there's been talks after the fair to use that area for meetings and stuff.
So much of the improvements of the fair have been geared toward the kids, the junior fair, the new 4-H building, all of that. So it's really good to see.
Yes, it definitely is. And we're grateful for everyone who helps put that on, the fair board and the fair. The people who work at the fair do a lot of good work out there. And it's definitely put on by all the supporters out there. And we couldn't thank them enough for all they do to help kind of keep pushing us in the right direction every year.
Absolutely, because it's those sorts of things that keep the 4-H program going strong in Hancock County. And we are blessed with a really strong 4-H program. Not every county can say the same. So you take a little bit of a break, a breather, a few days off to sort of decompress. And then what's next?
So now, as the year is starting to wind down, some clubs are doing their final meetings, checking in with people. But now We get to recognize the kids in another level for all they have done for our celebration of 4-H. Some youth are nominated for a higher award known as Outstanding 4-H'er or our Danforth Award, kind of for their leadership and the things they've done throughout the year. And then the younger members and all the members can apply for individual honor awards, and they get different things for just showing what they've done. Maybe they participate in these events. They went to state fair judging and competed. We also have a Judge's Choice Award, which is really cool at the county level, where the judges get to pick who they thought was best overall. And it's not necessarily their first place, but maybe someone had a really good interview, and maybe they just didn't have the top project for the day, but they had did a really good job, and mm-hmm. so they wanted to recognize them in another way. So,
and that will be happening when? When does all of this take place?
October 15th, so okay. Early mid-October, we'll get to recognize them. We're out at the fairgrounds at the Old Millstream Center. It's a lot of events happening. People pick up their individual honors. I believe the sales checks are handed out kind of then as well. people are like finally getting all their work done. They've sent their thank you notes out and credit recognition. So mm-hmm. then we have a program to kind of recognize those kids with the bigger awards.
Okay. Then what happens after that?
So from there, we get ready for our volunteer recognition dinner. This wouldn't be possible without all of our volunteers throughout the year.
Saying, yeah.
Yes. So they do a lot of great work. And this is just a small thing. Thank you. We can never thank them enough for all that they do. Mm. So we have a dinner, we play some games, and then we recognize some volunteers who have really stood out throughout the year. Their local, their peers or people through the community can kind of nominate them for awards for being outstanding service as a previous 4-H member, outstanding service. Maybe they had no 4-H experience as a child, but they got into it somehow. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a Hancock County Hall of Fame for 4-H. So kind of recognizing our top volunteers and those who have really made a difference.
It is really impressive, the number of people who do this year after year after year.
Yeah. There are volunteers who have had, this is their first year, they're just starting off, it's really cool, and then there's some with 50 plus. And so we have volunteers who have been doing this a really long time, and they really enjoy it, and seeing all their experiences is really great.
How often does it happen where, and you reference this, kids who were in 4-H then later become adult volunteers to help the next generation?
I think it happens quite often. I'd say, I don't have the exact number, but probably over 75% have had some experience in 4-H. It may not have been Hancock County, mm-hmm. but it could be other counties throughout Ohio or even outside of Ohio who have had interest in helping out.
Great way to give back.
Yes, and I think they see the skills they have learned as a kid, and so they want to give those skills to those beyond them to kind of help them develop and use those skills throughout life as well.
So this really kind of puts a wrap on the year, the year in 4-H. Then when does everything start up again and we start thinking about next year's fair?
So we're already starting to think about everything. I know out at the fair they take a little bit of time, but I know they're already, as soon as one fair ends, they're already starting to prepare for the next one. So I don't have all the ins and outs on that, but on the 4-H side, we're already starting to, we have notes from this fair getting ready for the next one, what to think about, what to include. And then I think the official kind of kickoff for everybody is going to be about January. Mm-hmm. That November to January time, we like people to spend time with their families, you know, reconnect. They've been doing a lot of things with 4-H over the last couple months.
The reason I ask is because, who knows, somebody may have stopped by the fair and seen some of the projects, and maybe it piqued the interest of their young ones and maybe would want to get involved. What is the timeline or what is the process for getting them involved?
So October 31st is the official finish of the 4-H year. It's in October, and mm-hmm. it starts back up officially in November 1. So they can reach out to our office, either our website, hancock.osu.edu, and kind of reach out, send us an email there. You're interested, always stop out at our office on County Road 140, or give us a call. We'd love to help talk them through, find them a club in their area that also fits their time frame. And our Clover Buds kind of gets kicked off a little earlier in October, so they have an event coming up in October. They're learning kickboxing, which is awesome. They get to do really cool activities. I'm kind of jealous. I'm like, I'm going to go check this out. They're going to be kickboxing.
Well, you can pass for it. Clover Buds are what, up to
Second grade.
Six, seven years old.
Yeah, around that age.
Be the pass for 7 years.
Right. I might be able to squeeze it in.
There is more information at the Hancock County OSU Extension and 4-H website, which we have linked up at our webpage. You can go there to learn more. And again, big kudos to everybody involved in putting the fair together from the 4-H side. I think sometimes we don't realize just how big of an undertaking this is.
Yeah, they're like you said, they're already planning for next year. They're already starting to go. And so they've done a lot of great things. And we can't thank everybody enough for all the work they've done, all, everything they've done this year.
4-H Program Assistant Edie Gerke with us this morning. Again, goodmornings.net to learn more. Edie, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And with that, we finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program and a lot more at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, University of Findlay President Dr. Catherine Fell joins us to share an update on the merger between UF and Bluffton University. Until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.